The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
702 Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Sour, brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Look, the snow is falling. There's no doubt about that. If you're out in your car, I hope you're staying safe.
A white film was across the city of Atlanta.
What's the car, the all-wheel drive car that everybody drives in Colorado?
Subaru?
Subarus.
Yeah.
I hope you're driving a Subaru if you're out there driving.
You know how I know is because one of my buddies I used to work out with, and when I was producing an afternoon show, because our schedules align, we could work out in the morning, lived in my neighborhood. He was a Georgia kid that they moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
And then he came back to Atlanta.
Like a Subaru.
And him and his wife both had Subarus. And I was like, dude, what happened to you?
Yeah.
Like, they Coloradoize you.
Yeah. Subarus, man. Those are popular vehicles out there because they all wheel drive. And you need them. You need them sometimes in the snow when you're going to drive that often in the snow. And the people of Atlanta, obviously dealing with that this morning, man. Hope you guys are staying safe out there on the roads. Bo says he has all the confidence in the world in the WSauce Chevy Silverado and four-wheel drive. We'll be able to navigate the streets of Atlanta. Hopefully everybody out there is feeling the same way because it is treacherous no matter what. And you don't want to get caught in a gridlock.
We got to add the Factor Mills, WSauce, New Round,
okay, I didn't want to
Omaha
include
Steaks.
All of your bumper stickers. Not all the sponsors on the quarter panel, just the one on the hood. Man.
Hey, man, give them all
just
love.
The one on the hood.
You know, do you think, did Dale Earnhardt Jr. used to stop short giving all his sponsors? I just got to think
the car number.
The Chevrolet, the number 8 Chevrolet,
car,
Monte Carlo, Budweiser, Chevy, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Yeah, dude, where do you think I learned how to do sponsors? Dude, I studied NASCAR. I studied old NASCAR interviews for years before I got any endorsements.
One of the best parts, and we're going to get to Terry Fontenot in just a second. One of the best parts of Talladega Nights is when they do the sponsor outtakes. And he's like, hi, I'm Ricky Bobby. This is the Jack Hawk 9000.
If you don't chew Big Red, then what? Dude, that's
such classic television, man.
I mean,
classic
literally
Will Ferrell television.
Good you stuff. Go watch NASCAR interviews from the 90s. See, they did it the best in the 90s.
Yeah, they did.
They did it the best in the 90s.
They let it
because, well, they actually had more sponsors in the 90s. But if you go back and listen to the 90s, that is basically where I got fired. Whenever we do Life of Squid, I'm like, you know, I got to re-hit the spot. You can't. He's bad enough on TV. You can read that Dale Earnhardt Jr. is driving the number 8 Budweiser, but now you got to re-hear it. You got to see it again because he's going to say it to you.
There's no doubt about it. And then they take a sip of Coca-Cola because there's a
there's
a Coca-Cola sponsor on the line.
That's when I love when Junior went in the Budweiser car back in the early days of the Budweiser car, because he'd get out and he'd sip a Bud and he's shaking the Budweiser. You know, and now they got like Coca. It just doesn't ring as well when it's like Powerade or Aquafina or
it is a little
Body Armor.
All right, so we talked earlier about Terry Fontenot's presser, and yesterday him saying essentially he's comfortable with Kirk Cousins as being the backup moving forward. I think that makes a lot of sense, and I know it's not a popular answer with a lot of people. Well, you're sinking, you know, $40-plus million into backup quarterback. You sunk the money either way. Like, you got to pay the money either way, so you might as well not pay him to play for somebody else.
It's actually the most financially feasible thing you can do.
It really is.
It's like paying off
And plus, he's got a no-trade clause.
It's like paying off your truck, right?
Yep.
You don't pay off your truck and then say, man, I just spent all this money for 6 years, however long your loan is, and then say, I'm not going to get my money's worth out of paying it off. I'm going to go immediately and trade it in and buy something else because you're losing money.
Yeah.
That's how you end up upside down. You know, that and trading in vehicles every 2 years, you're just going more in debt, right?
Right.
Drive the wheels off of your backup quarterback you paid $40 million for.
You might as well.
Because you're not, if you cut him June 1st designation, there's zero money saved. So now you're going to have to go spend more money for an adequate backup for a what will be basically for a better part of most of this next season will be Penix's rookie season as a starter, not to mention what if something happened to him.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned it earlier.
I said that earlier, and I don't have the stats from 2024, but I remember distinctly the stats from 2023. I believe it was 64 different guys started at quarterback in the NFL 2 years ago, and 9 starters made it from point A to point B from game 1 to game 17 as their team starter. Now, some of those removed, obviously, due to performance. I think when you look, you know, around the league, probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 probably removed their quarterback due to performance. And look, the Falcons were one of those in 2024. But I think when you look at the need for backup quarterbacks and the money they are making around the league, why are you going to force yourself to go deeper in this conversation? Now, it all comes down to this with Kirk Cousins. And let's be point blank. Does Kirk Cousins want to be a backup quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons? I think he probably does, more so than a lot of people I'm hearing on socials. The back and forth is, this guy wants to be QB1. He's only got, you know, a year or two left, probably in his playing career. He probably wants to spend it as a starter. I don't agree with that. I don't know Kirk Cousins personally, but he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's like, boy, got to be the starter. Where do we think we're going to send him, or where is he going to sign right now that he's the day one starter right now?
And I do think there's a family element to it, but I would say this. His agent will be at the Senior Bowl. And his agent will be at the Senior Bowl with probably some clients that are working out at the Senior Bowl, right, and playing. But also, he is going to – there is a lot of personnel guys down there. Every team is represented. He can be bounced around to the teams that he knows need quarterbacks, and they're going to be having those backdoor conversations of, hey, are you guys looking – would you be interested in Kirk? Because here's the deal. If you are going to have to move on from him with a June 1st designation, you're going to do it before that roster bonus of $10 million due.
Yeah,
and then it would be just the $90 million you've spent over 2 years.
Then just a cool $90 million. Speaking of $10 million, Falcons did pick up Kyle Pitts' 5th year. Obviously, I think that sits around $10 million. Well, yesterday, Terry Fontenot was asked point blank, hey, man, what's the deal with Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, look, when you take a player that high in the draft, obviously you expect a certain level, and we understand Kyle had a really good rookie year and he hadn't equaled or exceeded that production since then, and so there's no excuses we're making about it, and yet right now at this point, just like any other player, Kyle has to do everything he can do as to make sure he's doing everything he can do this offseason to get the best version of himself. We have to make sure we're supporting him and helping him develop in those areas and make sure we're doing everything to get the best out of him so he can help this team win football games. That's what's most important right now.
If you listen real close, man, if you leaned in really closely, here's what I heard, and let me translate. I'll be the Obama translator on Key and Peele.
Good, because apparently when I say it, it doesn't stick with people.
Okay. What I heard was, he needs to play better. Point blank. He's got to make sure that there's a level of accountability about development this offseason to make sure we're getting the best version of him. Yeah. Which means I need the guy to train harder and develop himself and hold up his end of this accountability, because we said we're gonna give you the 5th year and you looked lazy at times last year.
Yeah, and this is what really – this is one of the most disappointing players I've ever had to talk about as a Falcon, because I watched this guy in college for three years, and I just could – I mean, I love the dude. I mean, he –
Torch teams.
I mean, absolutely phenom. But he's disappointing, and when you hear Kirk Cousins saying training camp, I've got to stay on top of him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get lazy.
Right.
That's brutally bad for me to hear.
Yeah.
When I hear
a lot to read between the lines.
When
of Kirk
I
Cousins
hear
comments too.
The OC asked openly in a press conference in the middle of the season, how do you get Kyle Pitts more involved? And he says, well, Kyle's got to do a better job of getting himself involved too. You know, he's got to make sure he's doing everything he can to get open. That bothered me. When I see DBs my size run through him and knock the and break up balls where when he's not coming back and making, you know, being physical at the point of attack on the football to hold on to the football, I these are all bad signs. Kirk, guys, quarterbacks, they're gonna if you're getting open, they're gonna know it. They're going to recognize it. They're going to get you ball. If they trust you, you're going to get the ball. Yeah. Drake London gets some of those contested targets because they know they can trust him. Same with Ray Ray.
Yeah.
They lost trust in Kyle, and Kyle's not earned it back. So when your GM says that, he's not going to throw a player into the bus.
Right.
That's as honest as you can be an assessment from a GM to a player that still has time left on his contract here.
Real quick, I want to get to this next cut because I think we look at Kyle Pitts. You look at what could have been in that fourth overall pick, right? Well, we look at next season. We feel like defensive player definitely off the top. I think you're picking at 15. Hey, Terry Fontenot, what's the plan with that 15th pick?
We can pick up some draft picks. So since we're picking at 15, so obviously we can move down and pick up more capital in the first or the second round or wherever that is. And so we'll have those discussions and determine. We just have to make sure that we're as effective, whether it's the draft, free agency, extensions, everything that we're doing, we have to be effective with each one of those moves so we can put this team in position to win.
That's coming on the heels of a question about the fact that you only got five picks. You lost one with the Kirk Cousins thing, the tampering. You traded one away. Was it Van Jefferson or was it Kentavious Street?
Van Jefferson. Actually, I think you traded one away from both of those guys.
Okay, I think you got one back, though, in return.
I think
you just traded down around maybe.
I think you got one back for Jefferson because he left.
And then you traded one for Matthew Judon. So you've got five picks. Are you excited about the possibility that he might think about trading down? Because I don't know where I sit on this one just yet.
Well, off the top of my head, knowing that there could be a guy like Jalen Walker there, I'm going to say no.
Right.
Because I want a player like that. And look, I don't care where you played college, guys. If you're a player, you're a player. Yeah, I know more Georgia players because they play here, and we watch some more. We concentrate on them. I wanted what was our guy, the edge player when we drafted Bijan that went from Georgia?
Nolan Smith.
I wanted Nolan Smith badly here.
Yeah.
Now, Nolan Smith is – I'd have to check his numbers, but he's not been – all pro, but I don't think he's been bad because they got a really good defense. Their defense starts up front.
Right.
But, I would have taken Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. And that's probably a good thing they didn't take him in a lot of ways.
Well, he's been obviously special, but so is Bijan Robinson when they drafted the eighth pick. And so that's kind of one of those things that you have to kind of weigh all options and what you passed up in that situation. But let me just present it to you like this. And we got just a few seconds left. If I told you that I would give you back, let's just say, number 24 and a third rounder to move up to 15 to give up my 15th pick, does that excite you at all? Because it doesn't me. I don't feel anything about that. All I have is guys, I was a third-round pick. I get it. I understand it. And that's why I can say it comfortably. I just think about Braylon Trice.
People think this – well, and that's the other thing you got coming back, and you got to remember, and it's going to be like signing a free agent or getting a draft pick. The thing that bugs me the most is people sit here and whine about how you missed on players or the perceived misses, right, or the production you get from third- and fourth-round draft picks, then tell you that you need to trade back every year to get more draft picks. Well – if you think the guy's the guy, you pick him,
right?
And this goes to the Michael Penix stuff where people are apparently saying, well, you could have picked him at eight if you didn't and not signed Kirk Cousins. I don't think you do. I talked to somebody in a national source the other day, and they told me two teams that wanted Penix and that were willing to move up for him.
Wow. We'll continue, guys, after the break with Terry Fontenot stuff. We also have to go in the huddle. This Tyreek Hill saga and the latest coming out of Miami, it's starting to blow my mind a little bit. I don't know that it's going to have a happy ending. I know Bo has thoughts on it as well. We'll hit in the huddle. We'll hit some more Terry Fontenot coming up on the other side of break. Hey, make sure you stick with us. Make sure you're staying safe. Hopefully you got some of that warm coffee in your hand and are getting woke up on your way to work. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's what I'm talking about, Dylon. Bring it home to us. Snowing heavily outside the windows here at our studios in Midtown. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning services. You worried about getting home?
I'm worried about driving with other people. That's what always concerns me.
Yeah, I think it should. And that's kind of the fallback. And I had this conversation with my wife yesterday. She's like, hey, make sure you can get home. Obviously, my wife works in education. Schools are canceled. Kids are not at daycare. All that other stuff. It's all shut down. But can you get home is the question.
I'm going to take smart routes. Yeah. Like, you know, I normally would go down here, right here by Art Center, MARTA, and get on.
Right.
But that's uphill, downhill. Well, I'm going to go out the shorter exit over here and go down Piedmont, not Piedmont, but 14th, all the way to the exit, and it's a straight shot to get on. Like, I'm going to take out any potential, you know.
You can at least Google Maps it before you hit the road.
No, I know how to get
see
home.
If there's any, yeah, yeah. Well, obviously, see if there's any wrecks.
I always Google Maps. I Google Map it everywhere I go.
I do too.
Just to see if there's traffic.
I mean, like routes that I take every day, I'm Google Maps.
Yeah, it's nothing. I forgot how to get home. Just like I'm going to see. Like I did it on the way down here. I'll Google Map like an hour before I want to leave to go somewhere if I'm leaving my cocoon.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. And I don't know why I side with Google Maps over Apple Maps or Waze or whatever else there is. Google Maps is just the most comfortable for me. I don't know what it is. MapQuest, whatever else you want to throw out there.
Hey, it came with a phone, dude.
Remember when MapQuest used to just print out the directions?
Yes. I was using MapQuest in radio. When I first got in radio, I was like, hold on. I got to MapQuest this before I can go. I don't know where this, you know, this Buffalo Wild Wings or this Twin Peaks is we're going to.
Yeah. Look, before we get to In the Huddle, and we're going to talk about the Tyreek Hill news, there's also some news on Zay Flowers and the Vikings-Rams game. I want to get to one more Terry cut, and yesterday Terry was asked, hey, man, what's going on with the pass rush?
Yeah, you know, with the pass rush, we started off and we were last in the league, first nine games of the season, and then after the bye, significant jump in pass rush with we were second in the league and over that span following the bye, and you know, specifically with Arnold Ebukadi, he was top five in sacks down the stretch. Caden Ellis had an unbelievable year, and he led the league in pass rush rate. And so we have pressure. We have pressure players. We have to add to that. So we showed ability. We showed improvement in that area, but that's definitely needs to be an area that we continue to improve.
Listen, man, I thought Terry's presser yesterday, and now that we've heard a bunch from it, I can say this. I thought he did well. I thought that, you know, listen, there was people that were going to roll their eyes no matter what he said. This answer to me, though, was the one that really caught me with an eye roll. Yeah, we were last in the league and we really heated it up. We're still second to last in the league. Like, what are we even talking about? I understand the development was there, but am I supposed to be happy that we ended up second to last in the NFL in sacks? I get it. It got better, but it doesn't mean it was good or great or anything along those lines.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those statements where I don't disagree with what you're saying. If you want me to make sense of it?
Yeah, I want you okay. Listen, it's the ebb and flow. Give me the other side of that.
Well, what I would say is that's a GM not crushing two players that he knows going to be back next year that he thought did a good job late in the season
right.
at generating pass rush. I also think it's a general manager that's not saying we're drafting this in the draft.
Right.
He's not telling you. He's admitting that it was bad at one point. It needs to be better. It got better, but he's not going to address what way he's going to address it. We know Braylon Trice is coming back. They expect him to be a guy that can help after the pass. Brandon Dorlus was a guy that I thought coming out of college was a better pass rusher than run stopper. And now you can say he wasn't on the field. Why not? But I don't think he didn't say they weren't going to address it or anything like that. I don't know what more he could say without completely throwing players that will be here and killing them. About the effort they brought and that they got better as the season went
I'm
on.
I'm glad you put it that way because he actually was asked about the ways he tried to help it last year, and that was by adding Matthew Judon.
Yeah, Mark. When you do that, when you add players at that point in their career. And then we're looking at, for us to make those decisions, we're saying, okay, we're in position to win the division and to make a run in the playoffs. And the fact that we're not in the playoffs, then we're not happy with the result of those decisions. That's just natural. That's not saying anything against either one of those players, specifically Matt or Justin, or anything. I'm not saying anything negative about the coaching staff or anything, but when you make those decisions, we believe that's going to be a tipping point for us, and it wasn't.
And he just basically said it was inadequate. We didn't get what we thought we were getting.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
I think everybody saw that.
Yeah, I don't know who didn't.
Matthew Judon ended up with how many sacks this year? Because it was a bigger number than I thought it was.
I think it was 5.5.
I watched every single game and every single snap. I couldn't tell you what maybe five of those 5.5 looked like. I couldn't tell you. I'm just sitting there going, Yeah, he had 5.5. What did those look like?
I'll give him credit on one. He shoved the right tackle.
Nice little bull rush. Yeah. Nice little double arm bull rush.
There was a couple
that's a nightmare for a tackle.
There was a couple that he got by staying home and the quarterback kind of stepping up into his pass rush lane and making the play.
Yeah.
He did chase one down, I remember, but dude, it was not good. In fact, it was bad.
Yeah, it was bad. I thought there was a lack of effort at times and just a lack of overall just willing to help the defense. And so that was frustrating. And obviously, that's your third-round pick, so there'll be questions about that as we move towards the draft. All right, let's go in the huddle. In the huddle brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash first. PadleyBuys.com. P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. All right, I want to get to Tyreek Hill in just a second, but first and foremost, Zay Flowers. Kind of figured this. He's going to be out for Saturday's wild card game. Remember, Zay Flowers, the Pro Bowl wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, got hurt in that division-clinching game against the Browns last week. He is a Pro Bowler, first-time Pro Bowler, 74 catches, over 1,000 yards. John Harbaugh didn't seem like it was a huge deal for him, but nonetheless, Lamar without one of his weapons going on this Saturday, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. All right, the Tyreek Hill news, and a lot of this comes from Drew Rosenhaus and his appearance on all of the shows yesterday, kind of running the gauntlet yesterday. I believe he's on with Pat McAfee. He said, look, man, Tyreek's committed.
Tyreek is very passionate. Anyone I've ever represented that was great was passionate. They cared. What you see with Tyreek is very genuine. He wants to win. It's not good enough for him not to make the playoffs. He is very passionate. I think at the end of the day, he's committed to this Dolphin football team. He had an excellent meeting with Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel. I believe that Tyreek is a great asset to the Dolphins, and I think he's the least guy that people should be worried about for this organization. They have many more worries. Tyreek Hill's not one of them.
Didn't he quit? Isn't there
big eye roll?
Isn't there audio of Jaylen Waddle asking him if he's done in the middle of a game on Sunday? Yeah. That just hammer homes the commitment and the
Boy, if I've ever heard a Jerry Maguire cut, I mean that was the cut. That is the most agent speak cut that I think I've ever heard in my life. I've talked to a lot of agents before.
At what point does it stop being agent speak and it just start be bold faced lies?
That's what a lot of those agents do for their clients.
Hey,
you know what else? That's a shot at Tua Tagovailoa. That comment at the end is a shot at Tua Tagovailoa. That should be the least of their worries, essentially what he said.
Yeah, well, he's not necessarily wrong there either.
They have many more worries. Tyreek Hill's not one of them.
They need to worry about Tua's health is what he's saying. I think Tua better be healthy or Tyreek's not going to be happy.
Did you see the station in Miami yesterday saying that the Dolphins should pull, air quote, in Atlanta?
Yeah.
And draft the future just in case?
A developmental quarterback. The problem is you got to do that in the first round.
Or else
it's not pulling in Atlanta. It's pulling Atlanta Desmond Ritter style.
Well, I mean, you better
be drafted in the first round.
But that was a Hail Mary because we just pushed out the greatest quarterback to ever step foot in the organization for a guy that didn't even come here. And now it looks like that would have been the biggest. I mean, whatever anyone ever sells you, the worst move any GM ever did was trading for and giving Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract. That's the worst front office move in the history of the NFL.
It probably is. Real quick, the Vikings-Rams game has been officially moved to Glendale, Arizona. There were whispers yesterday that it might happen. Obviously, the Los Angeles wildfires on the top of everybody's mind when it comes to that. It just sucks all the way around, man. There's no other way to put
this. All the way around.
It sucks all the way around. You hate that they had to move it. You hate the people that were going through all that stuff. You hate that the fans can't be a part of what they probably really, really need right now. Which is something to take their mind off of it. But it is ongoing, and you feel terrible about everything obviously going on out in L.A., man. So thoughts are with everybody out in California with everything going on. And, yeah, you'll see that game Monday night. That'll be played in Glendale, Arizona. All right, we got to move on. And coming up next, we'll obviously hit a mic'd up with a fair or foul. That'll be hosted by Dylan Matthews. Before we get there, the Hawks last night, another loss on this road trip. I'll tell you what the problem was. And what I think they need to change moving forward. That's coming up next. It's Morning Shift, Mike and Bo edition. Stick with us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, buddy. Take me back to Bryant-Denny Stadium for a minute. Take me back to Bryant-Denny Stadium for just 1 minute.
This might be on the playlist when I pull out of the parking deck.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
The Winter Wonderland, and you're going with Thunderstruck.
You're Let's like raise some hell, boys.
Yourself up for the drive.
Raise some hell, boys. Let's go.
You're going to be white-knuckling so hard with Thunderstruck rolling.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, man.
Maybe follow it up.
Your forehead is going to be 2 inches from the windshield.
Follow up with a little inner Sandman. then hit my stride with some Whiskey Myers and maybe mix some Waylon Jennings in there.
That's fair. Well, I'm not a big Waylon guy.
I'm a huge Waylon Jennings guy. You are. If Waylon Jennings was alive right now throwing a concert, I'd be there. I mean, let's go.
I probably would too.
I'm a big Waylon guy.
I went to the Stones. I'm not a huge Stones guy.
Big Dwight Yoakam guy too.
The Mick Jagger. Is Dwight Yoakam, that's the one that was in Wedding Crashers?
Yeah. He'll come with us for me, baby. He's also in Sling Blade.
We're going to get to Fair Foul in just a second, hosted by Dylan Matthews. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Before we get to Fair Foul, the Hawks fall once again last night. Now, they won on the buzzer beater Tuesday night when they took the floor. They lost to the Suns last night, 123-115.
Disappointing game. Disappointing for Trey. Only had 7 assists coming off a 20-20 game.
This was the 6th game of the road trip. They went 2-4. They were projected to go 2-4 on this road trip. They won the 2 games they were favored. They lost the 4 games they were underdogs.
Well, at least they didn't win 3, lose 3 this time.
And I said this yesterday. They're not good without Jalen Johnson. Like, they're just not. And it's like not one thing I can point to say, well, Jalen does this, well, Jalen does that. He helps you in so many different areas because he plays so many different roles so well. And so when you go against a team with Bradley Beal coming off the bench and Kevin Durant hitting the step-back jumper and everything else that comes along with this matchup yesterday, you would love to have a guy like that on the floor. The problem I have also is with Kobe Bufkin being injured, Dyson Daniels running the point offensively when Trey is off the court, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I thought Andy and Randy yesterday did a pretty good job talking about, you know, hey, maybe it was 2 days ago, but we got to get a guard, a backup guard. And it's a very valid point. It was 2 days ago, by the way. Without Kobe Bufkin, and I think he might be out all season. Is that right?
Yeah, I think he is.
So it's you've got to address that, and I know that the deadline is coming up in a few weeks. I'm just not sure that, you know, Garrison Matthews is the answer.
No, I don't think so either. And obviously, Bogey has needed to play better. Now, he had 17 points last night, but Bogey hasn't been good. That's just point blank. I mean, he hasn't been the Bogey that you signed to the extension last year and everything that you think of when you think of Bogey, the sixth man of the year contestant. Like, no, that guy's been DeAndre Hunter this year. DeAndre Hunter goes for 12 last night.
Well,
what?
That was the thing that Andy brought up, was like, hey, trade him. Like, trade him while it's hot. And I hate that idea because the money, again, is...
It's a friendly contract.
Well, not for a sixth man, I don't think.
Probably so, but you got to remember, this guy, playing, like, this summer for Serbia, insanely good.
Oh, I'm talking about DeAndre Hunter.
Oh, DeAndre, no.
Like, I was with Randy. Randy was like, no.
You're not going to trade a guy who's probably second in the sixth man of the year conversation right now.
And that's kind of what I don't... I'm sorry, but I don't care what your money's spending. Why are we trading anybody unless we're getting something more? It's something that is a better, a more valuable piece for what we need.
Yeah,
that's my thing. Stop. I am.
Don't let last year or the years prior to that throw you off from the fact that he's playing incredibly right.
The
now.
Only time a GM in this town can trade something for what is perceivably a lesser asset is Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah,
everybody else does not have the trust.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. We'll see what they do as they move towards deadline. I don't know that they'll do anything. It's kind of an incomplete project in terms of the Hawks right now. I don't know that anybody's saying this team's championship caliber, but just trust the development, and eventually next year you'll have Kobe Bufkin back, so we'll see how they want to move forward. All right, Dylon, you're up. Let's hit Fair Foul. Yeah, buddy, John Foy and Associates rolling. Dylon, don't let John Foy down, okay?
I will hold strong arm for John Foy and – go ahead and kill this Fair Foul one time for the one time. All right, let's start here. CFP, the other CFP semifinal game tonight, Ohio State, Texas. After seeing what you saw between Notre Dame and Penn State last night, fair or foul, tonight's winner will win the national championship.
100% fair.
Okay.
100% fair. And look, I think that goes two ways. Number one, I think Ohio State's playing like the best team in the country. If they roll tonight, I think they'll roll Notre Dame. Number two, if Texas rises up to the challenge and beat what I think is the best team in the country right now, then they will deserve to be favored over Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Simply put, I think Notre Dame is as fast as I've ever seen Notre Dame, speed-wise, especially from the running back position. But I don't think they challenge you vertically enough to put a scare into either of the teams that you'll see play tonight.
Ohio State is playing like a $20 million team. For the first time all year, they're playing like a $20 million team in college football. I don't think Texas is. I foul because I think that Notre Dame could muddy the water and beat a Texas. I don't think that the way Ohio State is playing right now, they're not beating Ohio State. If Ohio State continues to play at that level, but I do think Notre Dame could beat Texas.
So what you're saying is, in your mind, it goes Ohio State, Texas, Notre Dame in that order. And if Texas could jump up to beat Ohio State, then they can fall down to lose to Notre Dame.
Yes, because okay. Notre Dame plays like Georgia. Whether people want to admit it or not, this year they play like Georgia, and Georgia gave Texas fits.
Mm. All right. What do you got, Dylan?
All right, let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons. Been talking a lot about that Terry Fontenot press conference and what it bring, what he said, what he didn't say. We just talked about the pass rush last segment. Fair or foul, the Falcons will finally, after however many years, will draft a pass rusher with their first round pick. No matter where it comes, because Terry did talk about possibly trading back, but no matter where it comes, with the Falcons first round pick, they will draft a pass rusher, fair or foul, Mike Johnson.
Well, I think it's fair, and I know that Bo is upset. He was ready to jump. I think it's fair.
I thought Bo went first last time, but Mike did. My bad.
No, it's all good. I think Terry's going to have to. I think that if you don't, and it doesn't, you don't see any improvement next year, and you go back with a third rounder or second rounder or whatever, you don't have a third rounder. So if you go back to the drawing board with a less than first round pick, I think that seat's on fire next year at this time. And if it doesn't improve.
Foul. You're dug in at this point. Do not go against your beliefs. At this point, you're 4 years in. Don't go against your beliefs. I think it's foul. Not to mention, why overdraft? Have we not learned our lesson with overdrafting freaking players? And I'm talking about when we've done it with deep pass rushers before, just to get to say we got a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Go draft the best player available. If it's a cornerback, hell, you need help there too. That'll make your pass rush better too. Yeah, another AJ.
There's cornerback, right? I'm just checking because I have battle. I have battle scars off last year. You know what I'm saying?
Cornerback.
Don't say hey, if there's a quarterback. And y'all laugh, but no, I'm just telling
well,
you.
Well, but and the other thing is stop thinking that Terry Fontenot is going to do what we want him to do. He's going to do what he wants to do.
Phenomenal point.
And look.
I've swung and missed on both the picks since we've been on this show.
And I'm going to tell you something. Other than the colossal miss that the tight end has become, the other three
have hit
are superstars really in the league.
Yeah.
In the making, especially the quarterback. Uh-huh. So I think it's foul. I think you draft the best defensive player available.
Yeah. All right, Dylan, what do you got?
All right, let's stick with the Atlanta Falcons for a second here and actually stick with the defense. This is more of an overall question about the defense. Fair or foul? Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, and Kyle Pitts will all not be Falcons next season. All of them. Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, and Kyle Pitts will all not be Falcons next season. Fair or foul? Bo Morgan, let's start with you.
It's foul.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts is going to be here.
Kyle Pitts will be here.
It has to be. So you're just going to throw another – You're just going to have $50 million that doesn't play every week? Because that would be Kyle Pitts and Kirk Cousins both on the roster not playing. You can afford it with Kirk Cousins because of the money and what you say. You're just straight up losing $10 million.
You've already picked up the $10 million on Kyle Pitts. And to your point, I know that you're probably asking if you could trade him.
Yeah.
Nobody wants him. He's put nothing on film that would lead me to believe that he's going to get any type of pick.
And when you do, if you do trade him, they're going to be like, why'd you trade him for nothing?
Right. What you're going to do, if you could trade Kyle Pitts, here's what it would look like. You're going to send Kyle Pitts into seventh, and they're going to send you a late sixth back.
That
ain't going to matter for anything. So, no, the answer is foul. Kyle Pitts will be here.
All right, moving on. Let's get into a little bit of food here. I love to look at my national days every now and again. Last time I didn't do one, so I wanted to bring it back this time. One interesting national day today is National Oysters Rockefeller Day.
Come on.
Fair or foul, Eating oysters. Simple as that. Fair or foul, eating oysters. Do you guys enjoy oysters?
Bro, you're not there, but the whole – you're getting to the Hot Pocket conversation that we had like a couple months ago. Oysters, like I would use a sledgehammer to hit the fair button on this one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
But they're like top three food that I eat is oysters. Raw oysters. Don't care. If y'all ever been to Fontaine's over there, not too far from here, Fontaine's yeah. Oyster House, dude. Let me tell you something.
I just feel like I wouldn't like it. I've never had them, but I just feel like
you
raw.
You never
like
had raw oysters.
No, I don't think I would like the texture.
Do you,
at
let
all.
Me sit down.
I don't like slimy stuff.
Do you guys want me to answer truthfully or in a way to upset Mike?
Well, ooh, actually.
Well,
I like the second option.
Aren't you allergic to oysters?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're
allergic to shellfish.
The answer is I'm allergic to shellfish, so I can't eat oysters. But I could say that, I mean, if. You know, I want to eat something slimy. I got to just, you know, pick my nose. I mean, that's pretty much what it looks like eating an oyster. Like a booger going down your throat. Disgusting.
I can tell that you've also never eaten oysters, so that's fine.
Yeah.
You're just a hater. It's a top
But I three can't
food.
Eat them anyways. I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
But I'm also, look, man, I grew up in Florida. I grew up on oysters. We were having this conversation with my cousin last night. He's like, yeah, we did a Christmas dinner. We, you know, raw oysters, shucking raw oysters, had crab claws. You know, all this stuff. I'm like, that's the most Florida dinner I've ever heard. Nonetheless, man. But yeah, I'm a 1,000% in on raw oysters.
All right.
The best.
Another one here. Let's actually move to a quick headline that it's Braves news, basically. A little bit of Braves news, but I wanted to make a fair foul out of it just to get the headline out there. Braves signed Jared Kelnick and Dylan Lee to 1-year deals to avoid arbitration. Fair or foul, Jared Kelnick and or Dylan Lee after this season will end up with a long-term deal with the Atlanta Braves.
Ooh.
Well, define long-term deal because a reliever.
I would say it's three years.
Three or more. Three years or more.
Who's going first?
I lost track who went first.
No, it don't matter. I'll throw just a quick answer out there because we're up against time. Yeah. I don't see either one of them doing it. I think Jared Kelnick is a guy that has had every opportunity to take the reins in multiple cities, hasn't been able to do it. The tools are there. But for me to think that he's going to get a lucrative 3-year deal from the Braves after this season, I think he'd have to play out of his mind over the next 12 months.
I think it's fair. I think Dylan Lee could get a 3-year $12 million deal or something like that. I mean, I think he got 1.6 or something with his arbitration deal, and Kelnick got like 2.3.
Correct.
But, you know, Dylan Lee's been there. He's been a valuable piece, a lefty out of the bullpen. I mean, I like the fact that they have him. I could see them re-signing him for a couple years. That's why I asked long-term, because reliever long-term deals are like 3 years unless he's an elite closer.
Right. And I don't see that coming.
And they're losing A.J. Minter, which is a lefty. They could possibly lose A.J. Minter, which would be huge.
Congrats to A.J. Minter, by the way, on getting engaged over the Christmas holiday.
If we lose a spirit animal on this team for me, I don't know what I'm going to do.
He did a good job. Let's just put it that way.
That is fair or foul, fellas. Thank you for
good
playing.
Job. Dylan, you did a very good job as well, man. Appreciate you taking the reins on that. Always fun when Dylan hosts. Fair or foul. Look, make sure you stick with us because coming up on the other side of the break, we got a pick segment coming up. I absolutely got torched last week in two of the worst picks I've ever made, so we'll attempt to not do that. Also, we'll talk more about this Penn State-Notre Dame matchup from last night. Actually, an instant classic in a lot of different ways, although the first half, got to admit, I almost fell asleep. Stick with us here. It's snowing outside. It's Sports Radio 99 The Game.